Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, January the 14th, and this is our top story. Stats seen by the Kent Online podcast show that five towns in Kent have topped a list of where property prices dropped in 2024. Broadstairs, Herne Bay, Westgate, Birchington and Deal experienced slumps in the cost of a house, according to Zoopla. Now, it comes as figures released last year suggest the percentage of homes in the county being snapped up by Londoners is at its lowest point for 5 years. So has the DFL bubble burst? Well, we can get some analysis now from Jennifer Woolley from Ward's Estate Agents. She's been speaking to Kate.
We've seen a drop in Deal, Herne Bay, Westgate-on-Sea, so Thanet and Dover areas recently. I think the average is about 15,000 drop. However, last year, if I compare quarter two to 2023 to last year, we find that those areas increased in value so significantly that this small drop that we're experiencing now is just the market and house prices levelling out in those areas.
And what would be the reason that we've seen a drop? I know there was a lot of suggestion that it was, you know, fewer DFLs buying trophy homes or second properties in the area. Is that what it's down to?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's what it's down to. I think because house prices last year in Dover, for example, increased by over 17%, I think that became very much the expectation for sellers. So despite the market actually evening out, I feel estate agents can often fall into telling the seller what they would like to hear in terms of house prices, when really sellers often have an idea of what they would like to sell their properties for, but estate agents need to inform the homeowners about realistic sales prices and be able to back it up with evidence and thorough research to determine a reasonable listing price. But no, I don't think the difference in prices is completely down to people buying multiple homes or different areas or anything like that. I purely think that the market is just leveling itself. It will always fluctuate, but increase over time overall.
So with the drop in house prices, you said that it is a leveling out of the market. Is this good news? Is it bad news? Is it how should people looking for a buy a house, how should they view this?
I think house prices constantly always fluctuate ever so slightly. There is never a right and wrong time to buy. Interest rates are always changing. And I think depending on the reasons for move and people's motivation to move, there's always buyers out there and there's always sellers out there. I don't think that people should take it negatively at all. This is normal. This is what we would expect in the housing market.
Buyer registrations are at the same level this time this year that they were last year. So does that sort of tell us that there are, is it a strong indicator that there are people in the market looking to buy, or is it just people are browsing? Maybe they've got a little bit more financial confidence and that they're open to browsing a bit more. What does that tell us about buyers?
I think it's still very much a buyer's market. Yes, we are. We have got a lot of buyer registrations. But no, I don't think that necessarily means that there is solid interest. I think buyer registrations can be people just generally open to browsing and planning for the future ahead. I think a more accurate measure of how many prospective buyers there actually are would be those that are viewing properties within the last 12 weeks. I mean, on average, it can take someone between 2 to 3 months to purchase a property to find that suitable home for them. And so I think a more accurate measure of how much solid interest we've got out there currently would be the number of viewings rather than just buyer registrations.
You can see how property prices have changed where you live by heading to the story at Kent Online, and you can let us know what you think by leaving a comment.
Kent Online News.
An 89-year-old man has died in hospital after being hit by a car near Dartford. It happened on Roman Way in Crayford 10 days ago. Police say no arrests have been made. A Sittingbourne man who thought he was messaging a dad to arrange abusing his 7-year-old daughter has avoided a prison sentence. Julian Smith was actually talking to an undercover police officer. The 54-year-old from Wimbrell Close has been ordered to do 200 hours of unpaid work. He's also been placed on the sex offenders register. A Sittingbourne man's appeared in court accused of domestic violence after hurting a dog by cutting its nose with a knife. Wayne Kennett was arrested last month. The 38-year-old from Castle Court in Bapchild has been remanded in custody ahead of a Crown Court appearance. Now a mum and her three daughters who fled to Kent from Colombia have been told their asylum claim has been rejected. Luisa Rodriguez came here in 2023 after receiving threats from a violent drugs cartel. Shots were even fired at their home before the 37-year-old came to the county. Well, Luisa has been speaking to Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV.
My husband is a police officer and he works in an area in Colombia, and in this area some groups operate with narcotraffic, stealing drugs, kidnapping and things like that. And for his work, he received some threats, and this is the reason that we are here.
And how are you and your family coping with the move?
Yeah, it's difficult because we miss a lot of things from our country, but we are safe. This is the most important thing. We are good here. We live in a nice place, but the children miss a lot of things, even me, but we are good here.
And you mentioned that there were some mental health problems that you and the family were having. Are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah. The thing is, in my country, I never had any mental health problems, and my daughter never have any problem like that. But here, with this, all of this process is really difficult. I am being diagnosed with PTS, is post-traumatic stress and something like that. And I am under antidepressives. The doctors changed my medication two or three times, and it's really difficult to manage all the situation and the problems that all of these things impact in our lives.
And obviously it's good that you and the family feel safe, but can the security sometimes be a bit much? How much freedom do you have here at the hotel?
It's difficult because we are not allowed to receive visitors. We don't have space to receive anyone that want to came to visit us. I am not allowed to go out and leave my children alone, so it's quite difficult for these things.
And do you and the children, do you all miss your husband and their father?
Yeah. I miss my husband, but for my children it's too much hard. They miss the father, and for me it's difficult because if he stay here with me, we can manage all the situation together, but it's just me. And sometimes with all of my mental health problems, sometimes I don't want to do nothing, but I need to still working and try to be strong for my children. But sometimes it's more difficult for me. Some days are more difficult.
Officials say the application was refused because they don't accept the family is at risk anymore if they return. Luisa has an appeal hearing this week.
Kent Online reports.
A man's appeared in court accused of trying to rob a post office in Medway while armed with a fake gun. Liam Griffiths denies being involved in the raid in Twiddle last month. The 40-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, is due to go on trial in June. A man's been jailed after ignoring a court order banning him from entering shops in Maidstone town centre. Dougie Frankham stole alcohol and groceries from the Co-op and Lidl between April and August last year. The 38-year-old from Cambridge Crescent has been locked up for nearly 14 months. Now, the MP for Tunbridge Wells is urging the government to invest more money in defence to help deter war across Europe. Mike Martin says he's worried the UK could be directly involved in conflict within the next 10 years because of instability in places like Ukraine and the Middle East. The Lib Dem rep has been on this week's episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
The Lib Dems have been calling for a long time to increase the size of the army by 10,000. I mean, extraordinarily, the Conservatives cut the size of the army and continued that cut, kept that cut in place after the invasion of Ukraine, which is absolute madness. You know, the defence of the UK is rooted in the defence of Europe, right? That's just a kind of geopolitical reality. And British foreign policy for 1,000 years has been tied to what's going on the continent. And we have a extremely aggressive Russian state at the moment. It's not clear what's going to happen with the Ukraine war, but if Trump does some kind of grubby little deal there that emboldens Russia, then we're going to have real problems, because Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, all these other countries that Russia does have, speaks about incorporating within its sphere of influence, or certainly bits of those countries, we are pledged by treaty to defend those countries, right? They're all part of NATO. They all come under the collective security guarantee. More broadly than that, in the whole European periphery, in the Sahel, there's huge instability there. That's a key sort of migration route into Europe. Obviously, huge amounts of instability in the Middle East. I think Syria is going to become more unstable. The wider Middle East, the Balkans is very unstable. Greenland, the sea areas to the west of Ireland is effectively unpatrolled. It's sort of blank space. There's a lot of Russian and Chinese activity there. The periphery of Europe is extremely unstable at the moment. And our defences, the UK defences, are particularly weak. And the thing about war is, if you prepare for it and you have a strong military, you're less likely to fight it, because your opponents look at you and think, okay, actually, these guys are serious. Whereas at the moment, because we're relatively weak in military terms, opponents look at us like Russia and think, oh, yeah, we'll have a go at that. And that's exactly what happened in Ukraine. We failed to deter the last time they went into Ukraine in 2014. We failed to deter in Georgia when Russia invaded Georgia in 2008. And each time you fail to deter, your opponents are emboldened to have another go because they think you won't respond. And, you know, we're just continuing that. We need to get much stronger on our UK defence and our collective defence through NATO, because it's only through that strength that you are able to deter wars. So I think it's an extremely worrying time.
And you can hear that episode in full featuring our local democracy reporters by heading to im-listening or wherever you get your pods and just searching for Kent Politics Podcast.
Kent Online reports.
The company run by billionaire Richard Branson is reportedly launching a bid to rival Eurostar services through the Channel Tunnel. Virgin Group are planning on operating trains from the UK to mainland Europe by 2029. It's nearly 5 years since Eurostar axed services from Ashford and Ebbsfleet and can't confirm when they'll start running them again. Medway Council are considering building their own care home to help deal with a shortage of beds. Bosses want to ease the strain on local services while also generating income and jobs. Plans are due to be discussed at a meeting on Thursday. The family of a Gravesend man who lost his battle with mental health have called for reform to the sector. Paul Badger passed away over Christmas at the age of 57. His family say he'd been in and out of hospital a number of times because there simply wasn't the space or resources for him to have inpatient treatment. They're calling for more funding to help support the NHS. Now, we've been hearing from a Kent-based company who've gone from cleaning for friends and neighbours to taking on an entire castle. Sophie Brown started Capable Cleaners out of Lordswood 12 years ago. And since then, the business has grown so that she now has 150 clients and employs 25 people. Together with her husband Martin, they've built up so much expertise, they've been called in to clean Lullingston Castle. Well, reporter Ellie Hodgson sat down with both of them for a chat.
Literally within the last 2 or 3 years, it's really started to ramp up, because we've learned more about promoting, marketing, the team. It's just the knowledge around it that held us back, around a business rather than the cleaning side of it, wasn't it? Yeah.
And what does it take to have success? Obviously, with your business, you've focused a lot on like being environmentally friendly and the standards are really high. How do you ensure that your business stays apart from the rest?
Brilliant team training. It needs really sort of robust training.
Making sure the team is supported, equipment's all up to date, any other little things that we can do to help make the cleaning easier, make tasks quicker and more efficient.
So we supply all the equipment needed for every clean. We go in with everything.
Yeah.
So we make sure that they've got good equipment to go and do a good job.
Yeah. When we first started, you go into a client's house and their Hoover might not work brilliantly, and it takes you 20 minutes longer to Hoover because you're forever trying to get it to work or pick up better. And if we, as we provide everything, we just know that the team have got products that we know aren't going to damage, but they're also going to do the job really quickly and effectively.
Final question, what does it take to clean a castle and how long does it take?
What does it take? Good knowledge of surfaces and products, you're being careful how you're cleaning something.
Not a ball in the china shop.
Not a ball in the china shop technique. And it takes
2 weeks to clean the windows.
Capable Cleaners recently won 4 awards in the National Domestic Cleaning Business Network.
Kent Online News.
A leopard that spent more than 15 years living at a Kent Animal Park has died. Tairi moved to the Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarden from Paris in 2008. Staff have described him as magnificent and say he'll be deeply missed. A Christmas tree recycling campaign has helped to raise more than £12,000 for the Heart of Kent Hospice. Volunteers collected around 670 trees across Maidstone, Tunbridge and Morling. Many were sent to the National Trust to be made into wood chippings, which were donated to a forest school play area in Sevenoaks. And finally today, a host of West End stars are going to be taking to the stage in Gravesend to help support creative youth services in Kent. Performers from shows such as Hamilton, Les Mis and Hairspray will join up with gifted young Gravesham for a one-off night of music and entertainment. It's after they lost their core funding from the County Council as the authority moved to tighten spending. And all money raised from the event will go towards helping them keep their services going. Lucy has been chatting to Jackie Cooper, who's a youth work manager at GYG.
It's quite humbling, actually. We have many performers from the West End and musical artists and performing artists come in and taking their time for free to come to the Woodvilles, to come to Gravesend and perform on the stage to hopefully sell tickets so that the money can go towards supplying, giving to young people so they can access services that are so needed for free. It's quite, I think I'm quite wowed by the fact that people would give up their time and do this for us. And so on that night, it is going to be an incredible night of entertainment and with a lot of heart. And, you know, it's very special. It's that they're doing this for us. So, yes, that's what the night is, a performance.
Where did the idea come from and how did you go about reaching out to all of these West End stars?
Okay, well, we're always trying to find ways to fundraise to keep these services going. Since everything was stripped and everybody lost their funding, it's a desperate state, really, to try and come up with lots of ideas to how our young people, to keep those services going for them. So obviously we run the Gig Performers and that is hosted and the singing coach is the incredible Leanne Jones, Olivier Award winner, along with some other incredible performers, Tom Johnson and Charlotte, and they're amazing. So as we were talking and we were thinking, you know, how else can we make some money? It was just a conversation of, do you think we can reach out to other performers? Would they come and help? Because, you know, the arts is so important for young people's mental health. You know, it's not that everybody's going to be a performer, but having a go, taking part in any form of arts is so great for mental health. So we are fighting to keep our service open because we have seen the benefit that this does. So that was where it came from. And obviously working with Leanne, and she has many friends in the industry, and she just did a call out and they flooded in. And I was really shocked. I mean, there was an afternoon when she was saying, Daniel Boyd said yes, Adam Pearce said yes. I was just like, incredible. You know, it's like, really? You don't expect it. And so that's where it came from. And they did. They all came back and said they would help us.
That's fantastic. And of course, you lost your core funding from KCC last year. How have you kind of navigated that and how has it impacted services?
It's very difficult. It was a huge blow to us. And what we've had to do, like every other provision, is we've had to bid for grants, and funding opportunities all over the place. And as you can imagine, the place is saturated with now everybody scrambling. So we're desperately trying to think of other ideas, and this is why this idea came up. But it is very hard. When you think our service, I used to have like 15 staff of youth workers, qualified, experienced, passionate youth workers. Our numbers have dropped. There isn't the money there to sustain the youth work, because the youth work is what underpins everything that we do. It's that relationship building with young people, and then we can provide all the other services. So we have tried very hard and done our own fundraising, our own asking people to help, putting on little shows, applying for funding bids. It's a desperate state. I have to say, we are constantly every day talking about what funding opportunity and what we're putting in, and if we get the funding.
Lucy also spoke to Jasmine, who's a young person at GYG and is getting ready to take part in the performances.
I'm really excited. I think it's such an opportunity to be able to perform with some of these amazing artists. Like, it's, I don't know. I just feel like it's an achievement. Like, I feel that after I've done this, I'm just going to grow even more as an artist. And not only that, I feel so passionate about the fact that these people are professionals and yet they want to come down and help us. And I just think that's so amazing. I can't explain. I feel like there's hope in the fact that older people, that professionals, that they want to come down and help us when they could be doing anything with their life. It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, it's so nice to have them kind of in your corner and fighting to keep gig going. How would you say gig has sort of prepared you for adult life?
Well, working with committee is the way to put it, because like I have to do so many letters every day, which is crazy. And also they've put me in charge of committees. So I've had to take control. I've had to watch what they do. Even when I'm working there, I have to watch what they do, the way that they go through challenges, because we have challenges every single day. But the way that these people can like sort these challenges in like a second, and how they work together and they're not just individual. If they have like any mental health in themselves, then they go to seek each other. And I just feel like that's such maturity that I've grown being at gig.
Kent Online Sport.
Tennis first up, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is through to the second round of the Australian Open. The former US champion advances despite hitting 15 double faults and losing serve 6 times in the match. She says she always backs herself to win when it goes down to the wire.
When it gets to those clutch moments, I relish playing in that. There's obviously a lot of nerves, but if you channel it and use it as excitement and buzz.
And in football, former Gillingham boss Steve Lovell has left Herne Bay. They're currently 17th in the Isthmian South East, picking up 24 points from as many games this season. In a statement, the club say it's with great sadness we've parted ways with Steve Lovell, assistant manager Mark Lovell and physio Dave Hocking. They add the group will be truly missed. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're there, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.